This is a podcast from the University of Manchester's Jodrell Bank Center for Astrophysics. For the full show and archives, visit jodcast.net.
This month's news.
This month in the news. SpaceX did it again in June and exceeded everyone's expectations. Two successful launches followed by two successful landings on two different drone ships in 3 days means that SpaceX's owner and its employees have a reason to celebrate. After the difficult two previous years, the company is now on track to meet and even exceed its goals for the number of successful launches this year, with three launches of the Falcon 9 rocket that took place over the course of a little bit more than 3 weeks. On the 23rd of June, BulgariaSat-1, a geostationary telecommunications satellite, was launched from the Kennedy Space Center PAS-39A. It was the second time a reused booster was flown to space and successfully brought back to Earth. B-1029 was first flown in the middle of January, marking a much shorter refurbishment process as compared to a nearly year that passed between two launches of the first booster that was reused. Second launch in the 3-day period took place from the West Coast Vandenberg Air Force Base Space Launch Complex 4 on the 25th of June. The mission carried 10 Iridium NEXT communication satellites to the low Earth orbit. This is the second time the SpaceX launched Iridium NEXT satellites to space, with the first 10 satellites delivered into the orbit during the January launch earlier this year. Earlier this month, on the 3rd of June, was the first time that a refurbished Dragon capsule was launched from the Kennedy Space Center to the International Space Station during a resupply mission. The spacecraft delivered more than 2,700 kilograms to the International Space Station, including a 372 kilogram neutron star interior composition explorer, also known as NISA. This experimental payload was installed outside the space station and will be used to study the structure of neutron stars through the precise timing of their X-ray radiation. The experiment is expected to start in the second week of July and run for 18 months. This particular Dragon spacecraft also carried an unexpected payload. Not announced until a few days after the launch, the capsule carried a Chinese science payload to the ISS. The experiment will run for 30 days and will study the effects of radiation on the human DNA. This is an unprecedented event, as the cooperation in space between the United States and China has been very limited until now. The US government went as far as explicitly banning NASA from any cooperation with Chinese officials in 2011, due to increasing security concerns mainly focused around industrial espionage. It is important to note at this point that even though the experiment was paid for by the Chinese Research Institute, the payload preparation and operations are being conducted by the American company NanoRacks. The company was tasked with ensuring that the experiment will in no way communicate with the systems on board the ISS and that no data will be exchanged between the payload and station's computers. Seen as a small gesture, this mission may eventually pave a way to a new era of cooperation between two ambitious space agencies, one which struggles to return to its former glory, and another one that is determined to catch the rest of the world in the next decade or two. June was a great month for exoplanet hunters, as there's been a bunch of new exoplanet candidates announced by the Kepler spacecraft science team. A bunch of 219 to be precise, bringing the total number of candidates to 4,034. We need to stress out that these are still just candidates that will have to be verified and confirmed using independent methods. 10 of these are especially interesting as they are expected to be near Earth size and be placed in the host star's habitable zones. This is a significant discovery, as so far only 30 Earth-like planets with sizes not exceeding twice the size of the Earth and found in the habitable zones have been confirmed. If these 10 new candidates are successfully verified, they should provide scientists with great opportunities for studying the development of Earth-like planets and allow them to focus on searching for conditions that support life. This release is also the final one that makes use of the data gathered during the primary mission of the Kepler spacecraft when it was pointing towards the Cygnus constellation. On the other end of the habitability spectrum is KELT-9b. Its host star has a temperature of around 10,000 Kelvin and a spectral type between A and B, putting it amongst the slightly warmer stars in the universe. KELT-9b follows an extremely close orbit around its host star, with a period of only 1.5 days. For comparison, the period of the Mercury is just shy of 88 days. The star's temperature and its close proximity to the planet mean that KELT-9b has a surface temperature of about 4,600 kelvins, making it the hottest extrasolar planet discovered to date. This is only 1,000 Kelvin less than the temperature of the Sun's surface, and actually more than some of the other star's surface temperatures. For example, stars with the K spectral type can have temperatures in the range of 3,500 to around 5,000 Kelvins, which means that the KELT-9b can have surface temperatures exceeding those of some of the known stars, which means that this is definitely not the place to search for extraterrestrial life. Whether you support it or not, the general theory of relativity still has a strong and stable position within the scientific community. Now even more than ever, as astronomers successfully repeated the 1919 solar eclipse experiment, this time using a distant white dwarf instead of our own sun, for the very first time in the history. Stein 2051b is a less bright but heavier member of a binary system, located at a distance of about 18 light years from the Earth. Being a white dwarf, it is expected to have a mass of around 0.67 solar masses, if stellar evolution theories are correct. However, first observation placed the mass of this object in the region of half of the mass of the Sun, which would, we quote the paper here, give the system a total age uncomfortably close to the age of the universe. However, this first method was later found to be flawed, effectively invalidating the inferred old age of the system. The binary system has a significant proper motion, meaning its components move in front of the background stars at a relatively large rate. It is important from the gravitational lensing point of view, as it increases the chance of the white dwarf passing directly in front of the more distant star. Hubble Space Telescope was then used to run 8 observations, of which 4 had to be discarded to various areas and artifacts. It was, however, enough to find that the white dwarf indeed reflects the rays of the background stars, and by the amount consistent with the general theory of relativity, similar to the 1919 experiment. The precise measurement of the deflection angle also allowed for the better estimation of the mass of the white dwarf, which was found to be 0.675 solar masses, in agreement with the existing theories. So, no stars older than the universe, and the GTR is correct.